we are. It's good to be here today. I hear the kiddos. That's always a good sound. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about being in the Word. We did have a full house yesterday, and we're all excited this morning because we take it as a glimpse of being on a Sunday morning like that.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh my gosh. By faith, we can speak it and declare it so. Hallelujah. We fill this building up, we'll go to two services, won't we?
Just,
and go to the gym. We can have lunch and have service too down there right there in the gym. So talk about having a good time. Awesome testimony, Sister Tara. Thank you for that. And Brother Galen and Garen, y'all looking sharp today. And on that keyboard, Galen's just going to be more and more right over there on that keyboard. So anyway, we're glad to have all of our guests today. We love you and having God's family together with us. Amen? Well, I'm excited. Super Bowl Sunday. And we're going to see what God has in His Super Bowl. How's that?
Amen.
All right, we're going to begin with a word here from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 27. Four verses. And these two portions of Scripture are going to be from the King James Version. And I'll admit, it's kind of hard to understand it. But we're going to, later on, I'm going to reread these in the NIV. And it'll make it so much plainer. But let's start out with the King James here. That's what Jesus spoke, so we want to be sure that's it. Not really. All right. Know ye not that which run, this is Paul writing to the Christians at Corinth in his letter to the Corinthians. Know ye not that they which run, Brandon's already talked about that this morning, running in a race, run all, but one receives the prize. They all are running, but there's going to be one winner. So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery, watch this, is temperate in all things. Now they do it, talking about the world, to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that just beateth the air. But Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In a few hours, there's going to be a game of great importance that will be played between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, you got to know I had to look that up just to see who was playing. Because I don't follow football. There we go. Large men will face off across a line of scrimmage. A call will be made, leather will slap, and bodies will collide and crash. A battle will have begun. For 4 15-minute quarters that will stretch probably into 2 or 3 hours or longer. And some will stop at halftime and go home, quit watching it. Or longer will extend enormous energy and Herculean efforts to move a piece of pigskin up and down a field of artificial grass. And in the end, one team will emerge victorious. And you've got to know, much is riding on this game. It is said that around the world, as many as 110 million people will be watching the Super Bowl. And in fact, they say this is down about 5 million from last year. Today, fortunes will be made and lost. The unofficial amount of sports betting on just this year's Super Bowl is estimated to be over $23 billion. Tonight, Americans will be glued to their television sets, all wanting the answer to one question: who will win? And one way to answer such a question is to ask, well, what does it take to become a Super Bowl champion? Let me tell you who is going to be the winner this evening. The winner of tonight's game will be the team that exhibits five specific traits. Here they are: the team that has the greatest desire, the team that is most disciplined, the team that has the most commitment, the team that is willing to sacrifice all, and the team that possesses the greatest character. That team, whoever it may be, will win the Super Bowl. And in football, many people play the game, but there are only a few that rise to the status of a Super Bowl champion. Do you know where the rest of the National Football League will be tonight? At home, watching the game. So what separates then a Super Bowl championship team from the team with the worst record? Well, Brandon, it's a sort of a process of transformation is what I'm finding, just what we're teaching on. It begins with desire, and from there it goes to discipline, and then you add commitment, you add sacrifice, and you add character. And all of those things then are applied day in and day out. The late, great Vince Lombardi, the former coach of the Green Bay Packers and the winning coach of Super Bowl I, stated these words in a speech called What It Takes to Be Number One. Here's what he said. He said, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning, he said, is a habit. Unfortunately, he said, so is losing. He went on to say that every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. And those of you who are here today and those who are watching online, maybe at a later time, I want you to know today that there is another game that is being played today, and you are and I are part of that game. But unlike the Super Bowl, our game is continuous, and it has eternal consequences. Yet, like the NFL, only a few Christians then will rise to the level of play exhibited by a Super Bowl champion. So my question this morning for all of us here is, what does it take to be a Super Bowl Christian? And the title of my message is, what does it take to be a winner? What separates a champion from a bush leaguer? Well, Pastor, what is a bush leaguer? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Those who behave or play as if they belong in a minor league, which is considered less in importance. So the five traits then that define a Super Bowl team are the same traits that define a Super Bowl Christian. Desire, discipline, commitment, sacrifice, and character. Yes. So as Sister Margaret says sometimes, let's unpack it, okay? We're going to take a few minutes and unpack it. We find these traits in the two passages of Scripture from our text. So again, let's look at our text this time through the NIV. It's going to be a little bit plainer, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the NIV. Paul is asking, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave, Paul says, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press, everybody say, I press. On toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me in heavenward, in Christ Jesus. In the Corinthian passage here, Paul is speaking to the Isthmian Games, which were held every 2 years in the city of Corinth. Their athletes would compete then for crowns made of just leaves. However, Paul was encouraging believers then to compete for a prize with more lasting consequences or significance. So the first trait then of a Super Bowl Christian, we could say, is desire. Paul says to run to win. Desire is to want something. Great desire is to want something so bad that you can taste it. I still have not had Mexican food since the first of the year, before our Daniel fast. So all I'm thinking about... All right. Desire, okay. For the Super Bowl Christian, there is no greater desire than to be in a close, dynamic relationship with their Savior. The late Bible teacher J. Vernon McGee, said this, "The highest desire that can possess any heart is a longing to see God." And such a desire then for God should compel us. In fact, it should propel us to run with all that we have. Amen? Amen? Unfortunately, instead of going for the goal, guess what? Too many will settle for the silver or the bronze. And that really is settling for less. And guess what? We're not called to be settlers. Well, Pastor, I just hope I make it through those pearly gates, and I just want my little cabin up there next to Jesus. No, 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 no. That is not God's best for us. We should be ready when the trumpet sounds. Full and running over. And when we get there, we can expect an awesome place that He has already prepared that we cannot even imagine what's ready for us. In fact, I'm convinced that most believers never venture too far past the starting line. Instead of straining and pressing on, what happens? They get comfortable, Brandon, and they get complacent on the sidelines. So what does it take then to make a pro athlete? It begins with a burning desire to compete and win. In his book, Vince Lombardi said this. I haven't read the whole book. I did skim through for this message today. The difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength. It's not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will. Paul has such a desire. He had it. He was the Bart Starr, the Vince Lombardi of early Christianity. Bart Starr, remember? Wasn't he the quarterback for Vince Lombardi? And he desires that you and I be the same. Yet desire alone is not sufficient. Desire only takes shape when they are desires only take shape when they are accompanied by discipline. So a lot of us desire to lose weight, but guess what? Without discipline, it won't happen. Now, I'm going to give you something real deep. You got to listen to it carefully. Brother Gary, it's going to be deep. You got to listen. I may have the wanna, but if I don't have the gotta, I'm never going to have the getta. Okay. Amen. All right. That's as deep as it's getting today. That's all, you know. So the second trait of a Super Bowl Christian is disciplined. And guess what? Discipline is the fuel of success. You may be the prettiest car in the showroom, but without gas, guess what? You're going nowhere. Ooh, that's such a pretty car. And it's on empty. You ain't going nowhere in it. Without discipline in the Christian life, you will never grow. You will be forever doomed as a spiritual weakling. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. An easy prey then for Satan and his team then of evil minions. You're open territory for him. To even attempt to live the Christian life without spiritual discipline would be like Don Knotts. Now remember his character. What was Don Knotts' character? Barney Fife? Okay. That's like Barney Fife climbing into the ring with Mike Tyson. Guess what? Somebody's going to get hurt. Really bad. And Mike would surely bite Barney's ear off, just like he did to Evander Holyfield in 1997. He took a bite out of his ear. Did y'all remember that? I was young enough to remember that 1997. And they disqualified him, took him out of the box, and of course they put him back in after a while. I guess he was sorry. You see Evander going around with a little cutout in his ear, you know. He don't have no ear there. Paul tells us that a competitor goes then into strict training. He beats his body and he strains and he presses on. Like a bodybuilder, Brandon can tell you all about it, who adds more weight and extra reps in order to increase his muscle mass. He's got a six-pack over here on him. Paul felt the burn and pushed past it. Why? Because he needed the muscle and the skill in order to effectively pursue his desire. Talking about the Apostle Paul. Listen now, maturity in Christ does not just happen. Guess what? It takes hard work. You mentioned it today. It's work, Brandon. It's work. In Timothy 4 and 7, Paul writes to young Timothy. He says, you got to train yourself to be godly. That's some work. You've got to decide, I'm going to be a godly person. And it's work. Hebrews 12 and 7 states, endure hardship. And just as there are no shortcuts to peak physical condition, understand there's no shortcuts to peak spiritual condition. Unfortunately, too many believers run aimlessly. They'll never win the prize because, why? They refuse to train. In fact, Brandon, they refuse the transformation process. The word discipline has become a dirty word in our culture. It isn't easy. It's not fun. Yet we know discipline is essential then to success in our lives. Tom Landry, the former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, he said this, "The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be." Most of us want to win. We just don't want to suffer any. Oh, my goodness. Discipline then puts feet to a Christian's desire to become a Super Bowl Christian. Yet to perform it at the highest level, a Christian also then has to be, here we go, committed. So the third trait of a Super Bowl Christian is commitment. Commitment will determine whether or not you view Christianity then as a recreational sport or a serious pro competition. How do you view it? Unfortunately, a commitment is a dying quality in America life today. It is. It is a quality known only to prior generations. Yet for sure lacking in this generation, sadly. When life gets tough, the baby boomers check out other options and alternatives. We see this trend in every area then of life. Commitment, that stick-to-itiveness, has become what they would call passé. Okay. Yet a Super Bowl quality performance cannot be achieved without commitment. All life activities have their ups and downs, we know that, but only those who are committed to riding out in the highways or those high waves and staying there in the lows in between will only be the ones that succeed. You got to stick to it. The highs and the lows. In Philippians 3, Paul said that he pressed on toward the goal. He was committed to completing his own Super Bowl. He didn't give up on the 4th-and-20. He kept the end of the game in mind. Again, Vince Lombardi said this, "The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor." He goes on, "Once a man has made a commitment to a way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. It's something we all call heart power," he said. He said, "Once a man has made this commitment, nothing will stop him short of success." How powerful is that? Again, I had no clue about football until I was come across this. Oh, my gosh. 1998 quarterback Tony Rice led Notre Dame's football team to a national championship. Before the season, it was said, the sports writers wondered whether Notre Dame could beat the tough teams with a quarterback like Rice, whose passing, they wrote, often was inaccurate. They did not know that the coach, Lou Holtz, he went out and bought Rice a dartboard. And he told him to practice throwing darts an hour a day. Rice did not see how in the world that would help him in his passing game. But he did just like that coach said. He was committed, Sister North. He was committed. Soon he began to throw, the story says, he began to throw passes with more accuracy and confidence, both of which were evidence then, they said, in an outstanding season. Understand with me this morning that commitment makes the difference between a Christian bush leaguer, if you please, and a Super Bowl champion. Amen. This step is crucial. Without commitment, we fracture then in too many areas. Guess what? We become double-minded. And the book of James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. Well, we have desire, we have discipline, and we have commitment. The next trait transforming us as a Super Bowl Christian is a natural outgrowth of the first three. The fourth trait of a Super Bowl Christian, we can say now, is sacrifice. Oh my goodness. The key to success in any venue is a willingness to sacrifice. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. To sacrifice is to give up something for a specific purpose. Our Daniel fast was wasn't that big of a sacrifice. Now, in my flesh, it sure was. Because I love to eat, you can tell. To sacrifice means that you're going to have to pay the price. Again, Vince Lombardi said, success is like anything worthwhile. It has a price. You have to pay the price to win, and you have to pay the price to get to the point where success is possible. And most important, you must pay the price to stay at that place where you're at. He goes on to say, football is a great deal like life in that it teaches that work and sacrifice and perseverance and competitive drive and selflessness and respect for authority, there we go, is the price that each and every one of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile. Oh my goodness. So here we go. A real Super Bowl Christian will sacrifice. That means there are things that they will give up and things that they will take up. Let me say this. They will give up pet sins. Do you know what a pet sin is? There are those things that you just know down deep is not too pleasing to the Lord. But for some reason, our flesh still does it. It's not what Jesus would do, I don't think. Also, they will take up burdensome crosses. That means make the time to read the Word. Make the time to fast, to leave something off. Doesn't mean 24 hours a day, drinking nothing but eating nothing and drinking water. Doesn't mean that, that includes some of it. But how about spending time in prayer? That takes commitment in itself, doesn't it? How about they will give up freedoms? What would that be? Well, today it would be less time on social media. They will take up submission. Submitting to God's will, to His total will and His purpose for our lives. What are we willing to leave off? Watch this now. In doing so, their time, their thinking, and their actions will be radically changed. Again, Brandon, we could say transform, couldn't we? Radically changed. The beauty then of sacrifice and the burden of sacrifice is that it's not just a one-time event. The Super Bowl Christian, like the Super Bowl athlete, continually will train and will sacrifice. Guess what? There's no off-season for Christianity and for a true believer. Paul did not rest on his laurels. Not even when he was old, he continued to press on. He knew that the goal line was still a few yards away ahead. He would not reach it until he closed his eyes in death. And the final trait then is an element that ties the previous four together and gives them shape. The fifth trait, fifth and last trait of a Super Bowl Christian is character. Charles Reed, an English novelist and dramatist, he wrote this: "You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." Without exception, every successful Super Bowl team has a game plan that integrates all the elements of training into a winning strategy. And for the Super Bowl Christian, character then is the element that integrates or fuses desire and discipline and commitment and sacrifice all together. Character for the true believer can be defined then as what? Christ's likeness. To be like Christ. Looking more and more like the Savior was why Paul trained so hard. Philippians 3 and 10. "I want to know Christ," he wrote to the Philippians. "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him." Paul acknowledged that he was not yet there, but he was moving in that direction. Each day he drew closer because, why? He had a desire, and he was disciplined, Brandon, and he was committed, Brother North, and he was willing to sacrifice, Brother Tony, and he was developing godly character in his life. Paul, in the end, lost his life to a Roman sword. With the drawing then of his last breath, he crossed the goal line of glory. The time clock sounded, and he had won the game. Paul was a real Super Bowl Christian. Waiting for him on the other side was a prize. A prize then that is greater than any Super Bowl ring. For Paul, there was multiple crowns that will last now for an eternity. Again, in a few hours, the game will be played, and a piece of pigskin will be thrown. It will be kicked. It will be carried up and down a field of grass. And in the end, one team will emerge victorious. A trophy will be rewarded. Rings will be presented. Cash will be given. Glory will be bestowed. Advertising contracts will be awarded. And one team will have bragging rights for another whole year. Yet today, a greater game of importance is being played. And you and I are a key player on the field. We each have the opportunity to play, how? For eternal rewards. We can win a prize that will never dim. The outcome then is up to us. Will you choose then to be just a bush leaguer Christian, or will you choose then to be a Super Bowl Christian, if you please? As we close today, let's ask the Lord then to fan the flame in us of that desire. I want that desire just, oh, I want Him to blow His Spirit on it. And those embers, and let it just build up to be more like Him than ever before. Ask Him then to help us in that area of discipline. And guess what? He'll do that. To be focused and committed to the Lord like never before. And not just talk about sacrifice, but do what it takes then to be who God desires for us to be. Listen now, He's given us everything we need to win in life and accomplish what He has called us to do. And last, the most important of all, how do others see us? The most important of all is how do others see us? Will our testimony line up with our character? If you don't have the character of God in your life, your testimony means nothing. When others view your character, will they see Jesus or will they see the old nature? I am determined to make sure my life lines up with God's Word. And I know you do too. To be able to say without a doubt, I fought a good fight. And to hear Him say to me in the end, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest and now receive your eternal rewards. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Galen. I got sidetracked. Hallelujah. Woo!
It's good. It's good.
God is so good.
Hallelujah.
Yes, all those things in the natural will seem hard. But how determined are we? Oh my gosh. All we got to do is focus. 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 What's our scripture, Brennan? Be not transformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God for my life, for your life. Father, I thank you. Oh, we praise you today. We thank you that this is our Super Sunday. It's not just the world's, they got theirs, but we got our Super Sunday. So I thank you, God, that you're there beside us, right on the playing field. You're right there beside us, and you're helping us run the ball to the other side. I thank you today. I thank you, Lord, that we are determined that we're going to win in every area of our life. So, Lord, I just ask that you continue to be with us. Lead us, guide us, direct our steps. Let your word be that light to our path that we can see down the road. A lamp unto our feet that we're not just stumbling over everything, but that you're right there with us. I thank you today. I speak blessings over this body, every man, every woman, every child. And I thank you, Lord, now that we're going to do everything that you called us to do in this hour because this is our season. This is our winning season, and we thank you for it. We're going to do your will in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. Worship the Lord with a hand clap. Amen.